Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
Oh, we're super silly. But come join us, grab your favorite drink, and welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Estelle Bingham, welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here with you girls.
We are so excited because you are a spiritual healer. You are an author as of the past few weeks, yeah. And you've written your first book. I definitely think it's giving us a time to reflect back on what's real as well and issues that we have to confront within ourselves, which is really exciting. So we're really happy to have you here.
I think that's a great place to start, to be honest, because I feel like currently, anyway, for us, we've been noticing life and the world feels a little too much. For someone who's overwhelmed or burnt out, what would you encourage them to do as a first step to reconnect with themselves?
Well, very good question. So actually, when I was driving here, I had a call with one of my clients, and she was really feeling the brunt of this energy that's in the world at the moment and really feeling burnt out and incredibly overwhelmed and really emotional about what she was feeling. And it's so natural if you are feeling like that, because we are human beings and we're meant to feel. The question is how you hold yourself safe and negotiate these times. And I would say for me, one of the great practices of bringing yourself back to yourself, bringing yourself back into the body, because that's really what we need to be doing. We need to be bringing ourselves right back into the body, is through a type of meditation practice. Mine is actually through the heart. So we anchor through the heart by just bringing awareness to the heart. It really helps still the thoughts. Also, a classic one, you know, that you would have heard time and time again, but the reason why is because it works, is to really make sure that you get out into nature, because we can so get lost. We can really get lost in the concreteness of our surroundings when we're living in cities. And to be in nature, it will regulate your nervous system. It just does the most phenomenal things for the thoughts that are going out, the feeling of burnout and sadness, actually, sometimes too, just the kind of the overwhelm of what's happening in the world, and it makes us quite sad. So bringing ourselves back into nature really centers us again.
That's really interesting. I mean, I think a key thing that happens with a lot of people, especially in this city life, is that you almost feel like you're taking in so much energy from a lot of places. And it can be overwhelming and can kind of add to that load as well. So how would you advise someone to start protecting their own energy? Because that's so hard, like when you're working with family things going on or things with friends, how do you make peace with yourself in that moment?
Well, of course, you know, what you're describing is an empathic way of being in the world. And there'll be some of us who are really empathic. So, you know, we're born empaths and there are others of us who aren't so empathic. There's kind of no better or worse. It's just, you know, ultimately we want to be in relationship and we want to be in connection with each other. We want to be able to walk into a room and read the room. We want to be able to feel into each other's energy, but we don't want to get lost in that energy. And so what I was explaining to my client was that if I got lost in the energy of every single person that I saw, so, you know, if I see people between 6 and 8 people a day, and I'm also a natural born empath, so when I'm going on the train, when I'm at a party, you know, how do you regulate yourself? How do you hold yourself safe within all of that? Because you're just bombarded by energy. So if I absorbed fully all of the energy of the people who came to see me, I absorbed their stories, the deep pain of their stories, I wouldn't be able to sit here and have this conversation with you. I would not be able to be of service to them. So the question is ultimately, you know, it's about thinking about how do I navigate energy. It's all about shutting yourself down. It's about becoming aware of what's around you and being and inviting that into your world, but having the boundary, having the line in the sand where you end and they begin. So I'm not going to get lost in your energy. I can meet you we can meet at that line and I can be there for you, but I won't step over that line. Mm. So that's a really important thing to think about, because often we can just in life feel that's a real problem. You know, that can be a real challenge. You know, finding your voice, being able to say no, not feeling guilty about getting wrapped up in wanting to rescue someone or make it better for them, and actually to protect yourself, to put yourself in that equation, doesn't mean that you love them any less. It just means you love yourself as well. But in these kind of being out and about in the world, I would say there are some really basic things to do. You can actually shield yourself in a bubble of light, and that really works. So I call that the light suit. Every morning you just bring that in. It's like you surround yourself in a sort of eggshell of light. With meditation, visualization, it really helps protect from kind of just random thoughts and feelings that are out there in the world.
I think that's so interesting. But ask someone, because I'm a little less like good with this stuff. Like, I love the idea of it, but whenever I feel like something takes me effort, I'm like ADHD. Like, I will be like, it's taking too long, you know? And there is a lot of like self-care noise. Like, at this current moment in time, because we have access to social media, I feel like personally it makes self-care and doing these things too complicated, because I am always looking to like fix myself, and I'm always looking to build a barrier or heal my wounds or reflect on the inside. But do you think that because of social media and all the noise, we're like missing the point of what this is supposed to do?
Well, it's a good question, because when I first went onto Instagram, I was so overwhelmed by the amount of healers and sound healers and energy workers and Reiki masters. I was just like, wow, like this is a lot, you know? And I think that we can get sort of bombarded by all of this information and feel like we're actually, you know, suddenly the need to do more or be more, like we can get really caught in that circle of and that's a cycle, actually. And radical self-care or self-love is really simple, you know. I would say even the word that you use there, which was I have this need to fix myself, I'd look to reframe that and think about just how do I meet myself, and keep it really simple. So if you are feeling sort of challenged by all of the information out there, just strip it away, because radical self-care is really simple. How do I meet myself more today? What does that look like for me today? It doesn't look like every single Instagram post. It will look like it needs to look like for you. And that's the secret of self-care as well, is getting to know yourself more so that you can listen to yourself. So that internal conversation is really, really important. No one can tell you what it is that you need. Your heart knows what you need. That's really what my work is about listening. How do we listen to ourselves more, and with, you know, really honor what we hear?
Which is really, really fascinating. I mean, getting into the book now, and thinking about it, how did you kind of get started on that journey of sharing all of the advice that you have on there and all the insights into it? Like, how did that come about for you? Was it a challenging process to kind of condense it all into those pages? Was it exciting?
Wow, that's a good question to ask. Well, I think like you, the idea of, I mean, I've been meditating since I was 6 years old. This has been, you know, this, I've been lucky enough to have this in my world, like you girls have with your mom, and that's sort of been in your environment growing up. But when I was in my early 20s, I was really clear that this is not something I wanted to do. And in fact, I sort of ran in the opposite direction as far as I could. I ran a mile. I just wanted to have a life where I wasn't defined by what it meant to be, you know, a healer, or what it meant to do this work. Or a therapist, whatever that was. I just actually just wanted to just have a life that was, I was sort of defining my own, you know, way of being in the world. So I became a TV presenter, and I became a travel presenter. And I really manifested that, because I love traveling. And so I kind of put that on my cosmic canvas and manifested it. And that's what I did. And it was wonderful. But then there was a moment in my sort of late 20s where our purpose sort of just becomes really clear, you know, and it's there in the room. And, you know, I always say you can run, but you can't hide. And that started my my years of my practice, really, just years of being with companioning people, thousands of hours and thousands of people, which has been such a privilege, companioning people back to themselves. So what does that journey home look like? And it's so different, and it's so difficult on one level to really condense all of that work into a bit. It was a challenge. I was like, okay, how do I do this? Because also I work therapeutically, but also interdimensionally. So the way that I work is when someone comes to see me, I get a download of what it is that they are with. And it's really forensic. It moves quite quickly because it'll be like, I need to talk to you about what it was like to be 3 years old, or what it was like when you moved countries at 10, or how you felt. So it's forensic like that. And bringing those wisdoms, like some real ancient wisdom, with the science, which is now there in the world. It's, you know, which is wonderful for me.
Of course.
Because, yeah, it's great because it's just everything's backed up by science now. And everything that sort of, you know, shamans and mystics and prophets and teachers, spiritual teachers and yogis have known for years and years, thousands of years. Science now says this works. So it was quite a challenge, actually. It was a moment in my life which it was an honor, and it was also like, it was like giving birth, I've managed to do it. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really interesting read actually for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Especially the part about shame.
Mm.
So the first question I want to ask you related to the book is, we have, I guess, been taught, and you're absolutely right, to hide shame. With the digital culture that we live, this is something that is radically obsessive, I think. And, you know, control, perfection, even down to a very, very tiny detail, is something that we will always kind of mask or create a facade around. And how do you manage that in your real life?
Just to be clear, so it's Manifest Your True Essence is the name of the book. And the true essence process is what the book takes you through. So we were talking about it before we started recording. And it's something that you want to get your journal, your new journal, and just spend a little bit of time with, because there is a lot in this book. And I wrote it so that it would be a self-contained piece of work. Like, you are going to cross the line when you read this, but by the time you get to the end of it, it's a book of three parts: the softening of the heart, the alchemizing in the middle, and then the return. And the return to your true essence. And who is that person? So shame is part of our alchemizing, and it comes a little bit further along in the book, sort of three quarters of the way in the book, because by then, you know, it's the deepest part of who we are. So we've already met our inner child. We've done some shadow work. We've been into the shadow and looked at our patterns and our triggers. And then we get to shame. And I always say that shame is that it's in the darkest corner under the biggest, largest rock of our shadow. Bringing the shadow into the light, because the shadow loves, bringing our shame into the light is the most powerful thing we can do for ourselves in our lifetimes. Because shame will tell us all of the things. It will say that I am bad, that you are bad, that you are not that something that you've done is bad, but that you are bad. It's how we start to reframe our lives. So that you're never enough, that you're, you know, that you're stupid, that you're all of these really awful things when that little loop goes round, is coming from the shame wound. Really powerfully coming from the shame wound. And the way to alchemize that, transform that, whatever that feels like, is to meet yourself, all of the parts of yourself, with compassion and love, which is why we go on that journey. Because remember that you've internalized something from a really early age about yourself. That's where the shame, and we all have a shame wound, but you know, if you were at school at 5 years old and you were dyslexic, or you had a bit of ADHD and you weren't absorbing the information the way that everyone else was absorbing the information, that will be part of your shame wound. And somewhere it will tell you, even if you've got, you know, a Harvard degree, it will still be telling you that you're an imposter, that you're not enough, that you shouldn't be there, that you're going to be found out. So what we do, which is why it's a process, just to bring it all the way around, is we gently go through these steps to meet these parts of you that have got lost along the way and are sort of also have been relegated to that darkest place inside you. And we bring that part, those parts out in the light with deep, with a profound amount of love that you start to grow for yourself. What is compassion? Again, on Instagram, you know, we see all of these things bandied about, be compassionate. But what I notice in my practice is that most people don't understand what compassion is. And again, love gets a really, you know, gets a bad rap. It is the greatest force in the universe. But how do we actually feel that more? Like, what is it? How can we start to harness that energy and really bring that into our world in a radical way? Again, and there are practices in the book, it's about moving more into your heart and stepping out of your head, meeting yourself from this place rather than this place.
Which is tricky, I think, for a lot of people, because, you know, there is the pressure through society to be a certain way and behave in a certain way and almost think about the world in a certain way. Like, we're all conforming to that place. So that can make it challenging.
It can make it really challenging. It's also our only road, really, in the lifetime, when we think about what does freedom look like, true liberation. That true liberation comes from where you know yourself, know thyself, you allow yourself to be all of who you are in an unapologetic way. And how do we get there? We get there by allowing ourselves to say no to the things we don't like, yes to the things we do, so finding our voices and understanding the nuances of who we are. That we aren't like everyone else, you know, recognizing what the conditioning looks like and unpicking some of that conditioning, the projections that have been, you know, that we've internalized from childhood or from school or from our friends, where we feel like we need to keep up with something out there. Okay. Mm. What we start to understand when we do drop in and do some deeper work, and it doesn't have to be complex, is that we are in direct connection. Mm-hmm. If we allow ourselves to be in direct connection, higher selves or whatever it is, however you understand that part of you, the part of us that's beyond the chit-chat that's saying you can't do it or you're not enough or you need to look like that person or why don't you dress like that because it's much better because you'll be accepted or these people are talking about whatever that whatever's happening for you, that we start to actually move into an alignment, which is obviously a word that we've heard about a lot. But in that alignment is a profound anchoring of self. And in that profound anchoring of self, we do not need external validation in the way that we used to need it.
Mm. I think that's so interesting. I mean, also, I have to say, like, I think that this chapter, the reason that we were like, whoa, was also because it's the scariest.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, it was definitely the part that, like, I feel like I saw and I was like, it's really true and it's really intense at the same time. And it's validating to also equally read it back in some way, because you do feel like, you know, there is, it's normal. Like, you don't feel so alien about it.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's a lot about like the inner dialogue that we have in general, perpetuated by society. So, yeah.
Mm. Was very fascinating, but yes, scary as well.
Yeah.
I think just because we all do have that, and it's just about acknowledging it and I guess facing it. And it's like, yes, you can do. I feel like some people can spend years, obviously I'm the more spiritual one, so years doing all the kind of shadow work in the world, but if you don't confront the shame, then you're not complete in a way. Like, you haven't finished that cycle.
Yeah. I wrote that chapter, and I think the beginning of the chapter is really interesting because I had got to the end of the alchemizing part of the book, and then really I was, you know, in the, when people talk about writing, and for me, you know, it sort of does move through you, and the book begins to write itself, and it has its own energy, and Manifest Your True Essence really does have its own energy. I had a really clear intention about what that book would be, that it would help people wherever they are, that it would find people wherever they are, and that they would be able to access that work in a really reasonable, like, it's you know, it's not very much, it's like $12 or, you know, £10 or, and I really wanted that to be there for people as a way of just having, living a better life. And I got to the end and then shame. And it was literally, I kind of woke up with this feeling, this energy of shame saying to me, speaking to me, saying, I need to be in this book. You need to write me into this book. I deserve a chapter of my own. I write about it, and it's sort of a, you know, it's almost like an interesting idea that I looked shame in the eye, and I realized that shame did need a whole chapter of its own. Because ultimately, what I notice in the process, and I also teach a practitioner course, is that shame is the key. When we unlock shame, it is so liberating. People come on my retreats, and they sort of talk about their shame, and they, you know, and how terrifying, you know, women of in their 50s, but, you know, all sorts of ages, you know, we can hold on to this energy for a lifetime. And it just disturbs our peace in a really deep way. And so it's like it's the key for completing, like you say, that really powerful cycle of inner child work, shadow work, all of, you know, growing your intuition, buying some crystals. Like, what does it mean to kind of sit and do this inner work, but not really face in and look your own shame wound in the eye and be at peace with your shame? Because ultimately, what I write about in that chapter is that shame has a place at the table. And what we realize when we do that work is that shame, you know, is a friend. And we when we meet shame with deeper love and compassion, and we alchemize shame too, the wisdom will really transform you. Because all of our wounds, the secret is to know and trust that our wounds are our wisdom. That is where we grow, and that's also where we mine for our gold, because it's all in there.
Yeah, I guess, you know what, it was really interesting, because I was like, you read so much about the subject area, you see a lot of things, and I was like, no one acknowledged this, and that was what made it really interesting, because it hasn't really been truly acknowledged in that form before. Like, hey, you need to do this. This is that final circle moment, which was really cool.
Yeah, but now we need to know about you, Estelle.
Okay.
What do you do to ground yourself when life gets messy?
Life really gets messy, right?
Yeah. Like,
it gets messy, and I want everyone to know that it gets messy, even when you've worked out, you know, you're at one with your shame wound, it still gets messy. And I write about that in the book. Like, that's what life is. Life will be throwing you curveballs all the time. So at the different stages in our lives, whether we're changing jobs, changing countries, having children, getting married, not getting married, breaking up, you know, single, really lonely, like all of it is menopausal. Like, it's a trip, right? And actually quite recently, it's been quite full on for me. I feel that I have to have silence. I have to take myself out and have me time, which is where I take myself completely, I retreat completely. And I need to recalibrate in my own space. So I actually create ritual. I light candles. I you know, really basic, light my incense. I do a little bit of prayer or meditation, or I get a little bit of charcoal and put that, you know, and light charcoal and really with some frankincense. I spend time in that sort of quietness with just my own energy, because for me, I find I'm talking a lot, you know, and space is taken up. So I like to just listen. So this morning, I just really extended my meditation practice. I really spent some time in deep meditation. But I also went to the gym this morning, and I swam. So I do the gym. Yesterday I was walking in the forest.
Wow.
I went and found the bluebells, which is why I moved back actually from the States to England. I wanted to bring my son back to the bluebells. So I found the bluebells and I went walking in the bluebell woods. And, you know, and I love that. So these are actually things that I'm doing this weekend. I'm thinking, so I walk my dogs. But that's a really important thing. I'll take myself right down to basics. Like, what's my nutrition like? What's my hydration like? And my quiet time, I really grab a bit of that.
I feel like those are all really nice and easy things for people to incorporate as well. and totally accessible to everyone. Any other accessible tips to people when things get too much for them?
Well, remember the power of journaling. People talk about that all the time. But I will say, I often get people to, you know, get a box within a box. So, you know, on your piece of paper, your A4 piece of paper, draw lines quite close to the edge, but it is your box within your box. Psychologically, that's really powerful. And put words, feelings, and emotions empty in your box, whatever you're with that day, and, you know, that's, and let it go. So I love to do, I do sort of a full moon meditation. I do, you know, you can release on the full moon, you burn that box. But also just empty. Often what it is that we get caught in the cycle and the stories. And how do we, when we're in the middle of a story, or we're just at the verge of going right into a story, which is when we start to spiral, how do we really bring that back in? And I feel that that can really work. So the box within the box, and filling the box and letting it just be there and leave it there.
Really helpful.
It's really interesting. I was going to also ask about, well, what resets you? Like, you've mentioned your rituals, but is there anything, like, I don't know, when you're on the go, a feeling, a snack, a scent, a sound, maybe a song?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So all of those. I actually created some perfumes. I made some perfumes that are all natural and have sort of crystal essences, tree essences, flower essences, and they were selling in Liberty. They're on my website. But I made them so that for these moments, so love, purpose, and protect. So protect is there to help the empaths, you know, and exactly what you were talking about, with a little bit of a spray of Protect. It's got everything in it that really kind of shields, it's a shield. Love just brings that frequency of love like right into your orbit. And purpose, I wrote the book on purpose. You know, I'd have to work all day and then start writing at 6 o'clock and write all the way through in quality or something that was, I could actually get to the end of the night and think, I've got a paragraph here. So I wrote, I use scent is really, really important to set, to create space, because for me, how do we return to the sacred every day? It's by creating pockets of energy, pockets of sacred time, pockets of energy. But on the go, it can be you just bring yourself back into that frequency with something that's a really pure product. You can really do that. Also, music is really big for me. So I play music in my sessions, and I love a solfeggio, you know, something solfeggio, which the frequencies are, you know, again, sort of heighten your regulate your nervous system and kind of clear the mind, and are really meditative, so they heighten your frequency. And what else in terms of snacks? I love a matcha.
So do we.
I'm a massive matcha fan, and I feel like it's just a great regulator, actually. So it does really help with cortisol, and it really regulates cortisol, and it works for me. I don't think it necessarily works for everyone, because it is green tea, so it's still, but it has really worked for me. So that's a brilliant one.
Love that
too. I mean, in the spirit of fun, if your higher self or spirit had a color or texture today, what would it be?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm feeling a sort of lavender today, like a wisteria lavender. You know, that sort of really beautiful kind of pale lilac-y, lavender purpley, but light purple. I'm feeling that.
Feeling that. How come?
Yeah. I can't. That's just the download. That's the day. That's the feeling of the day. Yeah, it's the feeling of the day.
Amazing. So before you go, we have three quick fire beauty questions we ask everybody. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
Whoa. I don't know if I break rules necessarily, but because I like to sort of keep up with, you know, the things. I sort of feel, do I break rules? I mean, I don't have as many facials as I should.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
My younger self, to keep drinking water.
Needed, for sure.
Yeah, like make sure you just drink lots of water.
And what's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget?
My beauty moment that I will never forget is when my friend Charlotte, who before she became a makeup artist, before she became Charlotte Tilbury, would spend hours plucking my eyebrows. And we used to call it our pluck and tell sessions, because then she wasn't a kind of brand leader and she didn't have a makeup brand, so she'd sit there, we'd spend 4 hours, and she literally gave me the most incredible eyebrow pluck. And it was exquisite, because it's just art. So for me, when she took me from big bush, because I went from like a strip of eyebrow to slightly more, you know, a definite tamer version, that was a good moment.
I love that.
But unfortunately, our pluck and tell sessions, because then she didn't have time to pluck my eyebrows.
Of course.
That's been since then, I have constantly been on the search for good eyebrow work. Oh. You know, and actually, threading is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do a lot of threading, so I love that.
Yeah, we love threading too. But yeah, finding a good eyebrow place in London is hard.
It's hard work.
It's hard work
indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Estelle, thank you so much for reminding us that healing isn't about being perfect and it's about being present. I mean, you've definitely helped us with so much useful advice for our listeners and for people who are viewing the podcast. And we just loved hearing about your journey and your new book, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I feel like if there was anything that we could tell people from what we've read of the book so far, it's kind of like a rescue remedy. It is. It really is. It reminds me of Bach flower essence drops.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that kind of relief that you get from that is the relief you get from doing the work in the book. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's so wonderful to hear. And actually, people have been leaving reviews and they've said it's like having me there with them, you know, and having a cup of tea, and just which is exactly what I really, that was my prayer and intention for the book. So I'm so pleased. Thank you so much.
Amazing. No, of course. Thank you.